Welcome to the Ozone.
Hello and welcome to the Ozone. I'm your host, Jeff Hazard, Assistant Director of Athletics and Sports Information Director here at SUNY Oneonta. And on this episode of the Ozone, we are continuing our celebration of our 2021 Hall of Fame inductees. And on this show, we are pleased to welcome one of our inductees, a men's basketball player from the mid to late 80s, Lou Nera. Welcome to the show, Lou.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Well, first of all, on behalf of the Hall of Fame committee, I'd like to welcome you to the Athletics Hall of Fame and say congratulations.
Thank you very much. To say it was a shock is an understatement. I was very pleased and surprised to get that call.
That's kind of like where I'd like to start. I mean, being a Hall of Famer now, what does that mean to you now as being a graduate and now actually going into our Hall of Fame?
I think, having a few months now to think about it, it was made all the hard work and, the time with my teammates, that much more special than it was, before then. And we had a lot of good times, a lot of hard work. We weren't a great team, but we all got along. We had a great time. And, I have had 7 knee surgeries and, wow, basically because of basketball. And it was a love of mine, a passion of mine, and it kind of all seems worth it now.
Right. You were an all-conference player, 1,000-point scorer. I mean, when you think about, we've had basketball here for over 50 years, and we only have a dozen 1,000-point scorers, and you're one of them. I mean, what is that? It's kind of crazy to think we would have that many basketball players that came through, and there's only that many 1,000-point scorers. So what kind of an accomplishment does that mean for you?
I mean, it means the world to me. And I was fortunate to play one of my teammates, John Fleming. I think at one time was one of the top 3 scorers in school history. And we got to play together for 4 years. And it's nice now to be joining him. He was inducted a few years ago. And I mean, you wouldn't think there'd be enough basketballs to go around with 2,000 point scorers at the same time frame. But we seem to make it work. And the other thing I'm proud of is I wasn't a great 3-point shooter or didn't shoot 3-pointers, so all mine were earned the hard way. John had the luxury of making 3s, not me, but it's a great accomplishment. I was like the second or third leading scorer in my high school history, and I never thought I'd have the ability to do the same thing in college, but it was a great thrill. And I actually, from Owego, we played Cortland, and Cortland's only a stone's throw away from Owego. So I had a lot of family and friends in the stands the day that I did score the 1,000 points. So that made it extra special.
Wow, that's really great. I was going to say, you did play with John Fleming. You guys overlapped, and he was the all-time leading scorer here up until a few years ago. I mean, so when you think about it, it took someone almost 30 years just to break his scoring record. And, the 3-pointer had just come into college basketball right around his junior, senior years. For you, like you said, I mean, he benefited from that. The points add up pretty quickly when you can shoot threes or whatever. But, being able to play with someone like that, I mean, are there some other teammates that, during that time, that you can allude,
I'll just say in general, I don't want to start naming guys because I'll forget somebody and someone will get upset. I do know that, for the 4 years that I played, I had the ability to play with a hometown buddy of mine who I played, church ball with and AAU ball. He was a senior when I was a freshman. And I mean, I met people from all walks of life, upstate, downstate, different races. And we all seemed to gel, we all had a common goal. And, the beauty of it was we gelled off the court as well as on the court. And I mean, we had friendships, and I kind of look at it as a fraternity. When you're on a sports team, you get stuck with a bunch of guys, and sometimes it doesn't work out well. And I was very fortunate that I really truly loved all of my teammates, maybe not every day, but we just it was something we looked forward to. And the 8 o'clock practices on a Saturday after a Friday night, game or celebration was a little tough, but I mean, they all, without them, I wouldn't have been inducted. I'd not be here. So I have to thank all of them, no matter how big or small they started or on the bench, they just made me better.
Yeah. So how did you find Oneonta? I mean, you know, what made you choose Oneonta?
Well, being the stellar student that I was back then, I really didn't have a lot of options. And again, being from Owego and having a buddy of mine who played for Oneonta back then, we played Binghamton, you know, Binghamton Colonials back then. Yeah. So I got to go a few of his games. And I do believe, you know, me playing Oneonta in my high school division, I played up at Oneonta for 4 years when I played varsity for high school. And I do think Coach Flewelling saw me or knew about me through that avenue. So, like I said, I had two or three options. I'm kind of a homebody, and you know, Oneonta's 80 miles away. It was an easy drive. And to be honest with you, I wanted to go someplace that I thought I'd be able to play and play right away.
Right.
I've told my kids, you know, when they made a choice for college, you only have 4 years left to play a sport you love. You're not going to go pro. Go someplace that you want to play. Don't go someplace where you're going to sit the bench.
Right.
And say you went to a better division or a higher school.
Right.
You have 4 years to play the sport you love and enjoy it.
Right. So was Mike Pacintelec, was he assistant coach during your time? Did he?
Yes,
hang around?
He was. Yeah. Yep. He Coach Whitehawk was actually my coach the freshman year because Coach Flewelling took a sabbatical and was volunteering at Cornell, but Coach Mike Pacintelec was here, I think, 3 or 4 years I was here, and great guy. And, you know, he was one of the first ones to reach out to me when he heard, you know, I was inducted. And, you know, I do cherish a lot of the memories of hanging out with Mike and having him show us the way, you know, us, you know, youngins the way back then.
Because, you know, certainly he's in our Hall of Fame as well. Certainly one of our greatest players of all time. And being able to, I guess, like you said, be mentored or have someone like that here that kind of, you know, went through the program, kind of learned some things and to pass it on. I mean, how important are those lessons during that
It was
time?
A good bridge. Like I said, being a freshman and, you know, having a first year head coach, you know, having Mike around, I think was a good bridge to kind of, you know, level set a lot of us. And, you know, if we had questions, we could go to him and he kind of, you know, because he went through the process before.
Yeah.
And it was just, again, a lot of the coaches that we dealt with and we dealt with, and, you know, Coach Ryder was a volunteer coach. It was just different guys that helped out that just all seemed to make the process a little bit easier.
Right. What was it like playing for Don Flewelling? Of course, we hear the stories, but.
Is this a PG or R-rated podcast?
Well, let's give the, you know.
He was a character. I mean, you know, he the sabbatical he took, he went to Cornell, and I can't remember the gentleman's name that he coached under, but the gentleman that coached Cornell at the time was a Bobby Knight disciple. So Flew came back after that thinking he was a much smaller version of Bobby Knight. So it was very interesting. But no, you know, all joking aside, you know, we had a great time. I have some great memories of, you know, some of his antics. I think he got the most out of us.
Yeah.
Maybe it was because we, despite him, or, you know, we were trying to prove him wrong, but we, you know, I think he got the most out of the players and the talent that he had.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, and when he took over our softball program, it was the same thing. I mean, I think he got the most out of the players that he had and which made us successful. So, I mean, you know, you can tell why he's a Hall of Fame coach, you know, as well. You're now, you've been working professionally out at Lockheed Martin, I believe.
That's correct, yep.
Yep. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that, how long you've been there and kind of what you've been doing?
I've been at Lockheed Martin about 25 years. Started out as a buyer for one of the helicopter programs. And I've transitioned over the years to now I'm a card-holding manager in the subcontracts or supply chain organization. I've been a manager about 15 years now out of my career. So, again, being a homebody, I came back to Owego after college to kind of figure out what I wanted to do and, you know, had the opportunity to work for a Fortune 500 defense company and in my own hometown and jumped on it, and the rest is history.
Yeah. Relate your studies at Oneonta and how you think it helped you with what you're doing now.
I mean, Oneonta gave you a good opportunity as a business economics major. I mean, the beauty of that was you got a well-rounded background. You didn't focus on, you know, you saw all of the business aspects. And being a manager, I'm not sure if my degree gave me more background or support for my career, or being a teammate and a coach, because, you know, as a teammate, you have to be flexible. You have to read people. You have to, you know, you can treat some people certain ways and other people other ways. You can't be cookie cutter. And being a manager in a big company, it's kind of the same thing. If you have, you know, 15 reports, you can't walk in there and just, you know, kicking and screaming at all 15. You have to understand how to read people and what motivates people.
Yeah.
So I really believe, you know, and I talk about this to all my new employees, sports, I think, has been a great foundation for the person that I am, you know, in my time at Oneonta with my teammates and understanding them and new coaches. And like I said earlier, we, you know, we came from all walks of life. We came from the island, the city, you know, the sticks, and we all had a common goal and had to work together. And I think that really kind of made me the person I am today.
Right. And they, you know, studies have shown that, you know, companies like hiring student athletes because of that commitment and the dedication and the time management and all the things that kind of, you know, teamwork, all those things that go into building a successful company. I mean, so, you know, as you say, it certainly helped you more than probably your academic studies, but, you know, the combination of the two probably, you know, put you in a position to do that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, just again, the tools that I got from Oneonta, again, the, like I said, the time management, you know, trying to understand priorities, you know, understanding deadlines, you know, and then, you know, filtering in the commitment to basketball. I mean, you know, college sports, regardless of what division you play, is a commitment. You know, it's a job. You know, people think Division III, but, you know, the dedication you have to put in is year round. The time you've got to put in is year round. You know, there's some days you don't want to go to work. There's some days you don't want to go to practice, but
right.
You know, other people rely on you, and you are part of a bigger team. So right. Yeah, it definitely made me the person I am today. My experience at Oneonta.
Right now. So you did mention that you did a little coaching. You know, why don't you talk a little bit about your coaching experience and how you think, you know, playing at Oneonta and learning the things you did helped you in your coaching.
Yeah, I mean, even the courses you take at Oneonta, the coaching course, Introduction to Coaching, and some of the training courses. I was a trainer, got to see part of that aspect with Celie Smith, you know, and she taught me a lot. But I mean, I directly lifted a lot of the stuff that we did at Oneonta and incorporated those in my offenses, my defenses, some of my philosophies in coaching. And, you know, I had the ability and these poor kids that I coached, in the Owego school district for 5 years. And I started as a freshman coach for 2 years, a JV coach for 1 year, and a varsity coach for my last 2 years. So I coached the same five kids for 5 years in a row. So they didn't have the luxury of escaping me, but I was able to coach, and we won the section title my last year of coaching. I'd still be coaching, I think, today, but, you know, the politics of a teacher wanting the job and not being a teacher, you know, trumped on that for me. But that also gave me the ability after that to coach my children's, you know, Little League. I coached my son's AAU basketball team for several years, like, you know, U8 up to like U16. So it's just afforded me a lot of opportunities to spend time with my kids, meet a lot of great people, you know, build relationships with a lot of people I'm still friends with today.
Right. Did you because I know that Mike Pacintelik was coaching his sons in AAU. Did you guys ever cross paths out on the AAU trail?
No, I think he's much older than I am. So they probably were in different, you know, years, but
right.
I have run into a few alumni that I met like at alumni weekends or alumni basketball games that are around my area, like Cortland, stuff like that, that, you know, as soon as we see each other, it's like we've been friends and been talking, you know, daily since then. It's just it's a great bond with the guys that you know you played with and went to battle with.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe outside of basketball, I mean, are there some memories or some highlights, you know, from being on campus? Because obviously, you know, you're a student, even though you're a basketball player, but, you know, maybe some of your student experiences, some memories from that time?
Well, my grades reflected I was more of a student, more of an athlete than a student. But, I mean, really, I kind of said in my reflections right up, the biggest benefit and the biggest thing I appreciated from Oneana was the relationships. And, you know, class is class, and you do your class, and, you know, again, you put the time in there and you learn. But the friends that I made, the housemates that I made, I mean, we're still, you know, still friends to this day. And I think that's one of the legacies about Oneana. No matter when you graduate, I think the friends that you've made and the relationships you built just stay with you. I mean, my housemates were lacrosse players, basketball players, you know, non-athletes, you know, a mixture of everything. Next door to us were a bunch of baseball players. And I mean, sports afforded you the ability to meet other teams and get to be friends with you know, guys from other teams. And the support, you go to their games, they go to yours. So, I mean, I can't, you know, relay enough how much that meant to me and the appreciation and the good times. And like I said, you know, we went to alumni weekend, and it's just like we see each other yesterday, and we're just telling stories, and all the memories come flooding back. I mean, my son had the same experience with his buddies when he went to Oneana. So I just think there's a legacy there that, right, you know, it's indescribable if you haven't gone to Oneana.
Right. So I do have to, you know, before we close a little bit here, what was it like playing in Chase Gym?
I think Prisoners had a nicer place to play. I mean, it was cozy.
Yeah.
I mean, it made it sound like, maybe it feel like we had a lot of fans because there's only, you know, six rows of bleachers.
Yeah.
but we didn't know any better. I mean, they had built the bubble, I think, a couple of years, you know, right, during my time. The bubble wasn't there when I came. But it was sterile, the Chase Gymnasium. But, I mean, that's all we knew. I'm very envious of the facilities they have up there now between the, you know, baseball fields and the track and the, you know, the gym up there. It's just it's a great, great thing to have for the athletes today.
Right. And certainly, you know, without, you know, athletes like yourself that continue to support SUNY Oneonta, and, you know, we're not able to really get on these, you know, to be in a position to be able to build facilities like this. So certainly, you know, you're part of the legacy as well. So that's, you know, great for us. So is there anybody you'd like to thank?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people. I mean, again, being pretty much local to Oneana, my family, I think, came to probably 98% of the home games that we had over 4 years. And, you know, it's not an easy feat dragging my little sister, you know, dragging around. But, you know, like I stated, my teammates, my housemates, all of my housemates, I mean, unconditional love for them and for me. They came to all the games. They became friends with most of the guys on the team, just like I did. They were an intricate part of, you know, who I am today, and their love and support, you know, it was just was very mind-blowing at the time that a bunch of misfits that all kind of met each other randomly our freshman year ended up being housemates and you know, and teammates. And They more than anything have probably shaped me, the person I am today, the experiences we went through together,
right,
you know, just the activities, you know, some of the things I can't probably mention on the podcast we, you know, did together. But, you know, Oneana was just a great, great part of my life and a great time in my life that, like I said, it's helped me be the person I am today, the, you know, the father, the husband, everything. So I'm in debt to my time there.
Well, so with all my podcast guests, I do a little rapid fire question and answer with them. Just five questions. First thing that pops into your mind. All right.
Okay.
Here we go. What's your favorite meal?
Chicken wings.
Oh, okay. I think that's the first, you're the first person that ever said chicken wings, I think. What's your favorite movie?
Die Hard.
Ooh, there we go. What's your favorite genre of music?
80s alternative.
Yep, okay. Alternative. So what's that? Is that like...
The Cure.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yes.
I'm with you.
All right. You guys like,
because I graduated from high school in 81, and I actually ended up marrying my wife, grew up at the same time. She was in high school in the 80s, so that music I listened to a lot when we were dating.
It's so. Still in my car every day.
Yep, good stuff. Who's your favorite athlete all time?
Oh, I'm a Bills fan, so I'll say this reluctantly. It was O.J. Simpson.
Well, you know, when I was a kid, yeah.
But I'll go with Don Mattingly.
Oh, okay. Wow, good stuff. That's a good choice. And then the last question, place you would most like to visit?
Sedona, Arizona.
Okay. Awesome. Well, certainly once again, Lou, I want to just congratulate you on behalf of the Hall of Fame Committee and the college on your accomplishments as a student athlete here. And certainly, you know, it's great to be able to welcome you to our Athletic Hall of Fame.
Well, again, I really appreciate it, and I'm very flattered, and I owe a lot to my coaches, my teammates, and, you know, everybody that was, you know, part of my life at Oneonta. So thanks, everybody, and I couldn't have done it without you.
Yep. Well, we look forward to seeing everybody in June at Alumni Weekend. So
I look forward to it as well.
Okay. Well, we'd like to thank Lou for coming on tonight as we continue to celebrate our Hall of Famer from the class of 2021. And certainly just a reminder that you can watch the video portion of this show on our YouTube channel. And you can also download the audio portion off our website as a podcast for your smart devices. Well, I'd like to thank you once again for joining us, and we'll see you next time on The Ozone.